Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon, and just started the program, and the mic fell off in my hand. That's what you get with live radio. We'll get this straightened out. I've never had this happen.
It's a sign.
It's one of those things. I guess I have to hold the mic tonight. We'll get this fixed. We'll get started. But as I said, welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. All right. Kenny's coming to the rescue here. I think this goes in the bottom there. But while he's adjusting. I'm sorry, folks. I've never had this happen before.
Hilarious.
We should have had a picture. If this had been live with video, this would have been great.
If there was video, this would be awesome.
But just went live. I grabbed the microphone to make a last-minute adjustment, and the whole thing came off in my hand. So if we have to, we're going to see what's going on here. But we're checking. We've had some issues here, I guess, over the last week or so. Let's see what's happening here. As I said, I'm Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, and host of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. And we're going to switch microphones. All right. Are we switched over? We're checking. We're going to an alternate microphone so I don't have it fall off in my hand again, I guess. So how's that? Are we doing okay? All right. I guess we're... What a start. I hope that's not a sign for how the night's going to go, but I've never had that happen before. As I said, welcome, good evening, and welcome to Late Night Live. And this emphasizes the live tonight when the microphone falls off in my hand. But... one for the books, I guess. But all right, Kenny's got us saved. He's got us on, and I believe we're set and good to go. Check us out online, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com, and you can find out more about me, more about the program, and the next few days I'll get it loaded. If you like the beginning of our program tonight, you can listen to it. I'm going to listen to it myself. I want to hear how that sounds.
I'm definitely going back to listen to that one.
If I did outtakes, that would be one. strange things have happened. But, I was thinking of one time somebody asked me, what's the strangest thing you ever had happen on the radio? And I had somebody who lived in the Cleveland area was visiting a family member down in, I was either Louisiana or Mississippi. And he was with his sister. And he called the radio program, and he said he was down there in the South, wherever, Mississippi, Louisiana, whichever one he was in. And he said, oh, I want to put my sister on the air to say hello. And so he gives the phone over to her, and I said, hi, good evening, welcome. You're on live with Pastor Al. And I hear, I said, we're live with Pastor Al. And I hear, I guess she was nervous. That's all she did. And I said, well, we're live on the radio right now. And I heard, I said, well, why don't you hand the phone back to your brother? And of course, what did I hear?
Captivating.
It was strange radio. So, but anyway, you never can tell what's going to happen. This is one of the more unusual things. Like I said, never had the microphone come off in my hand. But anyway, as I said, check us out online, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And you can listen to past programs there. There's a number of things that are available there in addition to the programs. There's articles that I've written. The latest article up there, as I've mentioned, is which came first, the chicken or the egg? And then there's some other materials that are available that you can link to or look at. There's also a link to our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I'm the pastor, and I certainly invite you to come out and visit us at the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, and we'll have information about that throughout the program, but just to let you know, you can find out more about all that just by going to livewithpastoral.com. And In addition to all of that, I certainly want to remind you that not only do we have both hours of our Sunday night program available there, we also have our Friday afternoon program. We have a half-hour program every Friday afternoon on AM 1220 The Word from 1:30 until 2 o'clock, and you'll find those as well. Just check in here. I am now current through this past Friday, the 14th, which was Flag Day. And I believe Flag Day started, if I'm remembering correctly, in 1777 with the acceptance of the Betsy Ross flag. And that was about 2 or 3 years after the founding of the United States Army, which was also on June the 14th. And as I pointed out on Friday, June the 14th was also the birthday of President Donald Trump. So we had three things there on June the 14th. But today, of course, we are moving into the last part of June. It's hard to believe we're coming into the last couple of weeks of June, and it's going to be warm. It got warm today. In fact, when I got out of the car here at the station, it was still 79 degrees. And, of course, we're approaching the longest day of the year. In the Northern Hemisphere, it's June 21st, thereabouts, and that is usually the longest day of the year, and so we're having the sun set actually after 9 o'clock right now, and it'll do that for at least another week or so, I think, after the 21st, and then the days, I hate to say it, start to get a little bit shorter, and things will be changing eventually as we move on through summer, though, but we're going to have a taste of summer this week, I guess. It is supposed to get hot, 90-plus degrees. Temperatures, humidity coming up. It's like the dog days of late July are going to be upon us here in late June this year. And so they're going to be coming up, and it's supposed to be in the 90s every day this week, and no rain, I guess, in the forecast I looked at earlier today. No rain on the forecast until a week from today. So if you've got a garden going or you got some plants outside, certainly be sure to keep them watered. And if you've got animals outside, make sure you keep them watered as well. So we're in for a scorcher this week. So it's not man-made global warming. Don't worry about that. It's these things happen, and they always have happened. So anyway, stay cool and stay hydrated. You should do okay. All right, well. With all of that, as I said, you can give us a call tonight. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, our phone number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we'll get you on the radio here tonight with your question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. And let's open with a word of prayer. I think we need prayer after the microphone falling off in my hand at the start of the program. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you again for a good day today. Thank you for watching over us, Lord. Pray that you would bless. Use the program tonight for your glory. Help us to point people that are searching to Christ. Help us to encourage believers in their walk with you. And we just, in all things, ask that you'd help us to lift up and glorify Christ. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. As I said, our phone number is 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the radio tonight. And just noticed our on-air light isn't lighting up either tonight. So one thing, it's another, huh? If the building falls down around us, we'll try to keep going as long as we can. So as long as the satellite dish stays up, I guess we'll be okay. But anyway, we've got a couple callers actually called in just before the program started. We've got Cheryl calling in tonight. Cheryl, welcome to the program this evening.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al. And if you're going back and reviewing the tape, I might have missed it, but I think you said, good afternoon.
Oh, I might have. Maybe that's what did it. I don't know. I may have, but really.
This afternoon somewhere.
This afternoon somewhere, right.
With everything else that's happened, that's for sure. Well, I wanted to, probably some of your listeners know that last week at the Medina County Friends and Neighbors, you mm-hmm. and two other pastors gave a wonderful panel on a biblical worldview. And what the Bible said about the role of pastors in government and the culture. And my question is, I wonder if you would give some of the best scripture when someone asks you, what does the Bible say about what the role of pastors should be in government and culture?
Well, put me on the spot there, Cheryl.
The I've best scriptures. That question before, so
yeah, no. you know, there's a number of things, and I'm just trying to think of something. Where to start? And I'm going to go over here just a minute to Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 6, and people who know what Ephesians chapter 6 is at first may be thinking, what's that got to do with what pastors should be doing? But let me get turned over there. Let's see, Ephesians chapter 6, and there's a couple of things I think that's important to understand, especially talking about a biblical worldview and then what pastors ought to be doing. The stage is set for us when Paul writes to the church at Ephesus here in Ephesians chapter 6, where he says, and I'm going to start in verse number 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand." And this, I think, is instrumental for pastors to understand, because I'm afraid there's a lot of pastors out there who are ignorant of the fact that we are in a spiritual battle. We're in a spiritual battle for the souls and for the well-being of the people in our church, the people in our own family, and the people in our community, and the people in our country. And a lot of pastors, just for whatever reason, do not appreciate the fact that we are in a battle. And if you're a pastor, you are on the point. A friend of mine, he's a missionary, and he's a Vietnam veteran. And he was in the Army in Vietnam, and Brother Viral Stallnaker, and maybe some of our listeners out there may remember him. He's from this area. And Viral Stallnaker said that when he was in the Army in Vietnam, he took point when they would go out on patrol. And he said he did it more than anybody else. And being on point was one of the most dangerous positions to be in, because, you know, as you would go down, as you're going down a trail or something, and you're going into the area where there could be bad guys, you know, the guy on point is probably the first person to be spotted, first person to trip a wire, to a mine or a booby trap of some sort. And he said that he had another guy after he had been on point, that he allowed to be on point, and they came to an area, and he stopped the guy, and he said, "Wait a minute, what do you see? I mean, where are you going?" The guy's like, "Well, we're continuing down, going around the corner." He said, "Wait a minute, look around, what do you see?" And he said, the guy was oblivious. He said, "Look over there. Look, there's what looks like some old bandages, or, you know, some bandages over there that had blood on them. Something happened here." And he pointed out several things that showed that something had happened there, and it wasn't too terribly long ago. And he said, "You have to see and watch for these things, or you're not going to survive." And he took over, and he said after that, he did point all the time, because he said, "I was very good at it, and I wanted to live." Now, he didn't, in other words, he didn't trust the ability of others. So he took point where he realized there were people out there that wanted to kill them. And he was on guard constantly, and he knew that he was the point man, the one most likely to run into him first. And that's what pastors need to realize. And that's why I said, people might not think of this at first as what pastors should know, but a lot of pastors don't realize this. A pastor is a point man. When the devil's going to attack a church, who do you think he's going to attack first, the most? He's going to attack the pastor. Because if he can destroy the pastor, he can destroy the church. And if he can get the pastor off track, he can get the church off track. And one of the reasons that I think that this applies is after Paul goes through the gospel or the armor of God here in Ephesians chapter 6, he comes down to verse number let's go to verse number 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, and this is where I think this is critical in verse 19, and for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therefore I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. And so this is another part for pastors. Pastors need to realize our responsibility is to open our mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. We're supposed to tell people about Christ. We're supposed to represent the gospel to a lost and dying world around us. And we need to know what to say and what not to say, because he said that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So he was coveting the prayers of people so he would speak boldly as he ought to speak, meaning he would say what he should say and not say what he shouldn't say. And mm-hmm. And I think this is important for pastors to understand too. Normally we think of things that talk about pastors being the under shepherd, you know, under Christ, watching over the flock and helping them to understand the scripture and apply it in their lives and all. But we realize pastors are on the point. They're under attack. And a pastor that doesn't realize that he's in a spiritual battle and that he's the target, you know, he's not going to be effective. He's going to fall. And so you talk about some specific things. I think, especially in light of what we talked about in the pastor's panel about a biblical worldview, it's amazing how many pastors, how many churches wouldn't understand what we just talked about here.
Well, I think that's absolutely true, and I think that's, one of our the big points when some pastors say, separation of church and state, thinking that it is somewhere in our founding documents where it's nowhere. It is mm-hmm. not in there anywhere, and you have also given another really good scripture. I think it's in Ephesians also, but it specifically references the government, the authority of Christians or authority of pastors in the government. And I don't exactly remember where it was, but you're going to know. I know.
Are you thinking of the one where we're exhorted to pray for kings and all that are in authority?
No. I was thinking of the it has the word government in it, and the discussion around it that you have, which I think is great, is that we obey our government unless it contradicts a higher authority, and then the higher authority would be like the Constitution and then the Declaration of Independence and then the Lord himself.
Oh, I see what you're saying. You're talking about the lines of authority that we have mm-hmm. in how it runs, because it's just like, you know, the disciples when they were forbidden from preaching and teaching in the name of Jesus there in the book of Acts. They said we ought to obey God rather than men. Understanding that God is the higher authority here. And let's see here. I was looking for the passage, and I'm trying to think if I'm on the same page here. Give me just a moment here. I was looking for one here that talked about lines of authority, and the one that I'm thinking of might actually be in 1 Corinthians. Let me check this out, see if this is what we're thinking about.
Yeah.
1 Corinthians, I was going to say 1 Corinthians chapter 11. There's some lines of authority that are given there. Mm-hmm. Let's see here.
But this is exactly what is so important for people to know, and that there are very specific things in the Bible that would guide pastors and would guide believers, that you're so right that if your pastor isn't holding you all together, then the whole thing is going to fall apart. But I think people can be pushed into a corner to think that there really isn't anything in the Bible specific to pastors or and believers in being involved in the government. I think one thing, I know an example I always like to use is that, you know, if we want to be like Jesus, Jesus didn't sit in the closet until Palm Sunday. You know, he was out with the people and in the culture and all that. So, yes, let me listen to what you have to say about the First Corinthians.
Yeah, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And Paul's writing this. He says, "Be followers of me, even as I am, also am of Christ." And let me come back to that verse in just a second. And then he continues here. He says, "Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things, that you keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you." And he says in verse 3, "But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ. The head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God." Okay? And now, I know I've taught on this before, talking about the lines of authority that are identified here, because remember, Adam was created first, and Eve was created as his helpmeet, not that she was inferior to him. Unfortunately, there's a lot of people who teach that women are inferior, and in many cases, women are superior. Women are superior in some areas, men are superior in other areas. God created us male and female for a reason, and we complement each other with our strengths and weaknesses, but what we see here is a very clear instruction of order here. The woman is under the authority here. The woman is under the authority of the man. The man is under the authority of Christ, and Christ is under the authority of God, as in God the Father. Now, let me go back to verse 1, where Paul said, "Be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." Paul's giving advice to the believers here at Corinth, and you know, even though he's not the pastor of the church at Corinth, we can look at the pastor in this position. A pastor should say the same thing that Paul is saying here: "Be followers of me, as I also am of Christ." Because we ought not to follow anybody that's not following Christ. I heard somebody, he's with the Lord now, knows better now, but I was at a conference in Michigan many years ago, back in the, I think it was in the late 1980s. And this guy was a very prominent preacher, and he said that it was a conference on church leadership. And he said that he was going to say what the greatest form of church leadership was. And he went through various forms of leadership, and people who study leadership and understand, you know, you got the most basic where, you know, you do what you're told, no questions, and all the way up to where you get to the type of leadership where, you know, people have a common goal and they follow somebody because they're following the common goal. And so that's where he led to 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, where he said, Paul said, "Be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." And he said, now, most of you might think this is the best form of leadership. And I'm thinking to myself, what could be better than this? What could be better? You're following somebody who is following Christ. And to me, that's the most important form of leadership. And he said, no, this is not the best form of leadership. The best form of leadership is when people follow you because you're the pastor. And my red flags went up, basically, when he said that, because to me, that's the marking of a cult. People follow you because you're the pastor. No, a pastor should be following Christ. And people follow the pastor because he's following Christ. But if he stops following Christ, the whole church should not go like lemmings following him off the cliff. The church should keep following Christ, not the other way around. And if they keep following Christ, hopefully the pastor will look back and say, hey, wait a minute, where'd the church go? And it might get his attention and get him back into the right line of things and get back to following Christ. Because, you know, when we look at this, it's the idea, like Paul said to the church Thessalonica, where he said they were nobler than those in Thessalonica. That's where I'm thinking of Thessalonians. And he said they were nobler than those in Thessalonica in that they searched the scriptures daily whether these things were so. And it's like Isaiah said, to the law and to the testimony, they speak not according to these things because there's no truth in them or no light in them. And so as you say these things, you see these things, and Paul's saying, be followers of me even as I also am of Christ, we understand the only authority the pastor has in the church is when he's following Christ, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And because the authority that the pastor has that's invested in him comes from God. And if he's not following Christ, then he no longer has the authority. And so when you see in verse 3 here where he says, but I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, the head of Christ is God, there's lines of authority. This is not lines of superiority. This is lines of authority. Authority flows from God the Father, who came up with what's to be done, to God the Son, who carries it out. Remember, Jesus said, you know, he said that he did that which the Father told him to do and said that which the Father told him to say. And so Christ then leads the church and leads the pastor and of course leads the husband or the man, the father in the home. And then, of course, the authority flows from him to his wife, and then that's just the lines of authority. It's like being in the military. You know, for people who've been in the military, we understand lines of authority. And the Uniform Code of Military Justice requires you to disobey unlawful orders because we are supposed to only obey lawful orders. And if we receive an order that is outside of our line of authority that contradicts something that comes from somebody in our line of authority, we ignore that order, because we're operating under lawful authority from the guy who's above us. I was a sergeant in the Air Force, but I had a sergeant over me, and then we had an officer over us, and then we had another officer. You see what I'm saying? We had lines of authority all the way up to the President of the United States, who is the commander-in-chief. But he wasn't the chief authority, the top authority. He was subject to the authority of the United States Constitution. And, of course, the United States Constitution was written with the authority of God and his word as being mm-hmm. superior. So our authority flows from God to the Bible, to the Constitution, and then when I was in the military, to the commander-in-chief, down the line to me as a lowly sergeant in the United States Air Force. And it's the same thing in the church. My authority for what I do in the church flows from God, through his word, through Christ, to me. The government is not in that line of authority. The Constitution of the United States is not in that line of authority to me as a pastor. Now, I appreciate the Constitution, and I did take an oath to, you know, defend and uphold the Constitution, and I believe in it. But if the Constitution is contrary to the Scripture, well, like the disciples, I ought to obey God rather than men. So that's where our line of authority, we obey the higher authorities. And if a lower authority, a lesser magistrate, as it were, for instance, is contrary to what's above, we go with what's above. We go with the superior thing. In the military, if my commanding officer gave me an unlawful order, I was supposed to go, you know, with the higher authority, not him. And just, you know, I couldn't use the Nuremberg defense. Remember, after World War II, I was just following orders. You can't do that. As pastors, I can't ignore God's lawful lines of authority. The only authority I have in the pulpit as the pastor of the Richfield Bible Baptist Church is as long as I'm lined up with Christ. And for this guy to try and tell a bunch of preachers that the highest form of authority is when people follow you because you're the pastor, that's wrong. That's cultish. That is outside of the Scripture, and that is to be refused. If your pastor is saying, listen to me, not the Bible, that's a red flag. I'd be careful with that.
Mm-hmm.
And there are people out there like that. Oh, don't bother bringing your Bible. I'll tell you what you need to know.
Right.
Well,
and
there's,
that,
go ahead.
Really, I'm sorry, were you done with that?
Yeah, go ahead. We got about a minute or so to go.
Okay. Because the other part of that is, I mean, those are all, you know, really good, but if some pastor came to you and said, I am not sure what the Bible is telling me about my role in being involved directly in government and the culture, what do you say to that person?
Well, that's where I would go. I had made the reference over there to 1 Timothy, and plus there's a fact in the Bible that Jesus said we're to be salt and light in the world. Salt and light affect the world, or, you know, they add flavor, they preserve, they add, you know, push back the darkness. But again, 1 Timothy chapter 2, where he said in the first two verses that we're to pray for kings and for all that are in authority, that we might lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. How are you going to do that and lead your people to do that if you're not familiar with the scriptures? But hey, Cheryl, do you want to hold over for a little bit?
Sure.
Okay, hold on. We'll be right back.
Okay.
You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, midway between Akron and Cleveland, just off both Interstate 77 and Interstate 271. The Bible Baptist Church meets each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, "Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing to Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Oh, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis, and I'll be with you until midnight tonight right here on AM 1220. The Word. Hope you'll stick with us here this evening and check us out online, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And I guess we're live. I saw the red light come on again, so it's back on. I don't know. It wasn't coming on before, but hopefully we've been live all this time. But I was going to mention, check us out online, livewithpastoral.com. And, of course, we're sponsored primarily by the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I'm the pastor. You can find out more information about that. You can link to the site there from livewithpastoral.com. You can listen to past programs there, read articles, different things. And also, you can see that we're also sponsored by East Coast Pizza. And so we had a great time last Friday at our Friday night Bible study because one of our people brought in East Coast Pizza for us. And so I'm not sure what was going on. I gave Kenny some of our some leftover East Coast Pizza, and then the whole place started falling apart.
I don't know what's going on.
It's because there was no microwave to eat it.
I guess that's what it is.
That must have been what it is.
So, but maybe, I mean, I honestly think it's a blessing because I love warming up old pizza in an oven.
It's even better
as opposed to a microwave.
Yeah,
you know, it was still good when I had it here in a microwave, and it would taste really good right now.
Yes,
like right now would be perfect, but. It'll be even better once I get it home.
Oh, yeah, and it is. It, if you can warm it up in the oven. And that's one of the things I've said about East Coast Pizza in the past is, you know, it's great when it's fresh out of the oven, but it's one of the few pizzas that I know of that when you warm it up, whether in the microwave or a regular oven, it's almost as good as when it first came out of the oven when it was first made. And regular oven does do a little better job, but... I'm usually too impatient. I stick it in the microwave.
But I like planning ahead.
There you go.
I'll get it in the oven, and then I'll get something else done.
You know? There you go. You know, of course, that your family's going to want to try it now because they'll smell it.
No, I'll hide it.
Oh, no, they'll smell it.
Oh, no, the kids are home now.
See? They'll smell it, and now you know what that means. You'll be taking a trip to Euclid,
Garfield
Heights, because East Coast Pizza is right across from the Garfield Heights High School at 4889 Turney Road. That's 4889 Turney Road in Garfield Heights. Call East Coast Pizza at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100, and let them know you heard about them here on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. All right.
I'll put some masking tape on it and write broccoli or something.
There you go.
Still be there then when I go to eat.
Disguise it that way, yes. All right. Now, pizza has a way. If you've got kids in the house, they find pizza.
It disappears.
So, anyway. But we're going to get back into the program here. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we were talking with Cheryl about authority in the church and passages in the Bible that pastors should see and be aware of. And I had left off with 1 Timothy chapter 2, the first four verses there where Paul enjoins Timothy, who is a pastor, to be praying for all that are in authority. And certainly, Cheryl, still there with us?
Oh, yes.
I thought over the break, you know, you're talking about different passages. Actually, the biggest thing that I would tell a pastor to do is read and reread 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus. Those are called the pastoral epistles. And they're called that for a reason, because Timothy was left to pastor a church. Titus was left to pastor a church. And as I was thinking about that, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul tells Timothy, charges him, I charge thee, verse 1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. And then he says this in verse 5, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. And this is something that pastors need to know. You got to preach the word of God. You know, I can't believe how many times I've listened to a message where they give you a verse at the beginning, and then you never hear from it again.
Well, and that's, really relates to this very specifically, too. So, for example, let's take all of the wonderful things that you do in involvement in government. You know, you go down to the Congress, you listen, you give testimonies, all these things. And it's definitely an application of everything that you have said here. Although I can imagine that there are pastors who speak to you and say, well, that, you know, I really don't think that that's specifically what the Bible is telling pastors to do. In other words, I'm moving into the more concrete. And, you know, and I think they could still stay in their realm of, and as you have said many times, and I definitely understand it as well, in staying in their little realm in their church without going outside or even, you know, dealing with the things that are outside the church, but saying that they're just preaching the Bible. So if they say that and they aren't involved in the culture, is that a contradiction? Because you would be an excellent example of someone, I believe, who takes the Bible and directs you to go out and be engaged, which you do a lot.
Well,
and I imagine that there are other pastors, I would think, that say to you, no, I really don't think that's what the Bible's telling us to do.
You know,
I mean, is that the case?
Oh, go ahead. Yeah. I was going to say, you know, we look at this, and I mentioned in the last half hour that Jesus says we're to be salt and light in the world around us. And, you know, I think it's good when we look at that, because Jesus said in Luke chapter 14, salt is good, okay? But if the salt hath lost his savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? Okay, is neither fit for land nor yet for the dunghill, but men cast it out. He hath ears to hear, let him hear. And Matthew records similar, where he says in Matthew 5, verse 13, ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt had lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? Is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. And then he says, ye are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. And when we look at these two things, think of salt. You know, salt is good for a lot of things, right? I mean, if somebody cooks, I mean, I don't know if I could cook without salt. I know it wouldn't taste as good. Salt adds flavor, you know, to what you're cooking. You can also use salt to preserve. I have a coffee table in my house that actually the table itself belonged to my great-grandparents. And my mom never liked the table. And when I was growing up, it was at my grandmother's house. And one of my uncles one time shortened the table down and peeled off, you know, decades worth of paint and refinished it, and it was like a nice oak table and a coffee table. But my mom never wanted it around because it was the salt table when she was growing up. She grew up on a farm, and they used to take the meat and put it on the table, and they had to pound salt into it before they hung it up in the smokehouse. In order to preserve the meat. So salt has a preservative effect. And, you know, so there's many uses of salt. Salt water has an antiseptic effect. You know, you have a sore throat, you gargle with some salt water, and it helps. But see, in all those cases, for the salt to be effective, it has to get out of the shaker, doesn't it?
Yep.
And see, the pastor and the Christian who says, well, I'm in my church, and I talk about the things of God, and we're here, and the salt might be good in the shaker, but until it comes out of the shaker, it doesn't do any good. And I guess that's sort of the point there. If we're going to be salt, we got to get out of the shaker, meaning out of the church, into the community,
right?
To do something.
I agree. I think that's absolutely correct. So a very pointed question is, have any pastors said to you, I can do all those things, staying in the church, I really do not need to be involved in government? Have any pastors said that to you?
Not in so much the words, but sometimes in the idea that, well, you know, brother, time is short, I'm going to concentrate on winning souls. Well, winning souls is obviously one of the main things that we're supposed to be doing. We talked about that, preaching the Word of God, the gospel message, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. We want to see people saved. But when people get saved, what are they going to do? So we also have to tell people how to live as Christians. My job is, yes, to preach the gospel and see people saved. But my job is also to train up Christians so that they can go out as salt into the world around us, as light, as soldiers of Christ. And if I'm not motivating people in my church to go out from the church and to interact in the community, and one of the ways, you know, a pastor does it is by showing leadership, doing these things himself. And the pastor, go ahead.
I'm agreeing with you. I absolutely, that's exactly where I'm getting to. For some reason, I'm just thinking that, you know, everything that's been said before this, people could, I don't know, put it in a context that would not get to their being involved in the culture and their training their church to also go out into the culture. Somehow they can justify or whatever. I think that's a, you know, real, as you've said, what, 2/3 of the pastors don't have a biblical worldview. Well, how how can that happen?
Right.
You know, I think it's incredibly important. Pastors led a whole revolution in the beginning of our country.
Yes.
And those are the people who need to lead us, you know, now. And you're such a good example. And that's what I really want to make a point of here.
Yeah. I was going to say, we need to lead by doing.
Yes, exactly.
If I tell people they ought to pray and I don't pray, if I tell people they ought to read the scriptures and I don't read my Bible, what are people going to do? They're not going to pray. They're not going to read their Bible.
Right. And they won't go out in culture if you're not also.
Yeah. If I tell people, go out and vote your biblical values, but I don't go out and vote myself. If I tell people, go out and be salt and light by weighing in on legislation and issues in your community, and I don't do it myself, well, then they're not going to do it either.
That's right. You're hitting on it right there.
We lead by example. So
yes, there you go. And as you said before, I mean, you and look how many churches have totally gone astray with the pastor who seemed to be well grounded, and then all of a sudden wasn't well grounded, and the whole flock, you know, follows that person. So in any event, I guess I just want to summarize that by saying you're doing it right, and I hope that other churches and pastors can learn from that and get the right perspective, because I think I absolutely think that's the way it should be, and I'm glad that you do give us such a good example.
I appreciate that, and we certainly can't do it alone. We need the prayers, like Paul said, pray for me that I can open my mouth boldly as I ought to.
That's right.
Speak as I ought to speak. So
right. And you want to be like-minded, you know, the church being, and I think our church is like-minded.
Yeah.
In that. Oh, good. Well, thank you, Pastor L. That was just
appreciate excellent. That, Cheryl. Thank you so much. Thank you for calling tonight.
You betcha.
All right. God bless. Thank you so much. Yep. And I'm sure we'll talk again. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor L. Our number is 888-677-9673. We've got Nancy, who's been waiting patiently for us tonight. Nancy, welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al. Very interesting discussion you had with Cheryl. Is Cheryl the lady that used to come there to your Bible study with her mother, who's in her 90s? Oh, she's the same one. Okay, I thought so. Very, very sharp lady. Now, speaking of you doing, you being a doer of the word, you're just like Pastor Sanders, you know, Ernie Sanders. He is a doer of the word. But I don't want to go off on that tangent because I want to get to my subject. Now, you know, the Greek word pharmakia, I don't think it's actually in the Bible, but it's translated into English as sorcery or witchcraft.
Right.
And And so two different examples are Galatians 5:20 and Revelation 18:23. And the last part of Revelation 18:23, "For by thy sorceries were all nations deceived." And I was just wondering, do you think that perhaps the whole nation, a lot of nations were deceived with the COVID shot? And then also I wanted to mention Hippocrates, one of my favorite sayings. I know it's not in the Bible. Let food be thy medicine and medicine be thy food, which I just am a strong believer in taking care of your health by natural methods, if possible. And I know that you're a big proponent of golden paste. And like, for example, I have a certain medical problem. My cardiologist wants me to go back on a blood thinner. I had serious problems with a blood thinner. And I told her I'm taking vitamin E, which is good for your immunity, your skin health, brain function, turmeric, good for inflammation, memory, pain, garlic, good for your immunity, ginger root. And she is totally, my cardiologist is totally ignorant about natural, you know, like using vitamins or food, as opposed to she's just strictly focused on prescription drugs. And I do not want to go back on this prescription drug because it caused serious side effects. But would you say that that's sort of a personal thing. Would you say that the sorceries were Revelation 18:23 were all nations deceived? Do you think an example of that is the COVID shot, which many people died from the COVID shot and many nations were deceived? Do you think there was an application?
Well, I mean, there obviously was deception. We know that Fauci lied, and you know, because remember, mm-hmm. the first thing was, if you get the shot, you'll never get COVID. And then people who are getting the shot were getting COVID, and turned out they were getting it in
right.
greater numbers than people who didn't get the shot. And then if you got the shot, you wouldn't get COVID again, and then they're getting it again. And you only needed mm-hmm. one shot, then you needed a booster, then you needed another booster, and it was always changing.
Right.
So they were deceptive in that sense. But sorcery really more has to do with using things for spiritual insight and understanding. You know, I mean, obviously pharmakia is the root word for pharmacy today, and we understand it in terms of medicines and things like that. And medicines can be very important. Many medicines were based on foods and plants and natural things to begin with. Aspirin, because of mm-hmm. the spirea, the black willow. People would chew on twigs of black willow if they had a toothache or a headache or something, and they would get relief. And they studied mm-hmm. that, and they isolated, and they produced aspirin. And digitalis, mm-hmm. which is a heart medicine, very important in the ER. People come in with heart problems. Sometimes they have to administer digitalis. Digitalis comes from the foxglove plant. And the name mm-hmm. of it is digitalis because that's what they get from it. And so there's mm-hmm. numbers of plants out there that have tremendous medicinal benefits. Some out there, it's just, you know, people think that they do because they've been told that. But there are some very legitimate plants. In fact, there are botanists who study plants looking for plants where they can derive medications for. And so a lot of medications, they analyze the plant. They find out what in it is what does that. So the use of medicine in and of itself is not the sorcery that we're thinking about in the Bible. In the Bible, we're thinking more along the lines of appealing to the occult, which brings in a spiritual aspect of sorceries. And when you think about that, Isaiah chapter 47, has a passage that says this in Isaiah 47, verse 12, "Stand now with thine enchantments and with the multitude of thy sorceries, wherein thou hast labored from thy youth, if so be thou shalt be able to profit, if so be thou mayest prevail." And so it's talking about linking sorceries with enchantments. And it's like the Native Americans used peyote, for instance, to have spiritual enlightenment. And then Timothy Leary, remember back in the 60s, pushing LSD for spiritual enlightenment.
Oh, yeah.
Enlightenment. And so people for centuries have used drugs, medicines, plants, and things like that, because of the things that are in it, to have visions, to have spiritual enlightenment. And that's the kind of thing that we're really warning about, because you're being deceived usually by the devil, by a devil. Somebody, for instance, consumes, there's certain mushrooms that people take. And I had a guy when I was in back in Colorado State, a guy told me that you couldn't listen to a Grateful Dead concert and fully understand it unless you were high on mushrooms. Now, I'd take his word for it, but that's what he said. Goodness. And he said it gave you the understanding of spiritual truths that they were telling you. And but see, the devil uses your altered state of mind to get past your will in order to trick and to deceive you. I know we're coming up on a break here pretty quickly, but the sorceries that the Bible's warning of really do have more to do with that being enchanted, being deceived by the devil, and the use of drugs, medicinal plants, drugs, psychedelic drugs, or whatever, opium, coming from the opium poppy, and whatever, creating an altered state of consciousness or mind where the devil's more easily able to influence and deceive you. The other deception with Fauci, and that just basically came from lying people who are taking advantage of an opportunity to seize power for fame, fortune, who knows, whatever. And so I wouldn't think that it would be the same exact thing as what the Bible warns about sorceries, although Fauci, to be fair, did cast a spell on people. Because there are people who believed him. Oh, he's science. He's the science. How can you argue with him? Well, because what he's saying makes no sense. But you're arguing with the great and all-powerful Fauci. Well, because it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, he's like the Wizard of Oz.
Yes, the great powerful. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. The man behind the syringe.
Pay no attention to the facts behind the curtain.
Well, yes, the facts behind the curtain.
Because people that don't like to take prescription drugs, which I like to take as few as possible.
Yeah.
But they always say, the Bible says pharmakia, that drugs are is equivalent to witchcraft and all this. So
yeah, it has to do with why they were using the things.
It's talking about certain drugs that have like opium or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you for clarifying that. But, I've often been told that.
Yeah. But like I said, talking about that, many things are good for you. Like you said, golden paste and different things like that.
Yeah.
Whenever possible, good nutrition, a good doctor will tell you the best medication for you is good nutrition. You put into your body what your body needs to be able to function. And that'll help clear up a lot of things. A lot of things are because people eat a lot, but they're starving nutritionally. So, all things in moderation as well. But, hey, we've got a break coming up, Nancy. Thanks for the question tonight.
Okay, well, thank you.
Thank you
very much. Okay, God bless.
Recently, the British crown passed from Queen Elizabeth to King Charles. America has no monarchy. We have a constitutional republic. Our sovereign is we the people. President Reagan said in 1983, "The Founding Fathers understood that only by making government the servant, not the master, only by positing sovereignty in the people and not the state, can we hope to protect freedom." But who advises the sovereign? President Coolidge answered in 1926, "The principles of human relationship, which went into the Declaration of Independence, are found in the texts, the sermons, and the writings of the early colonial clergy who were earnestly undertaking to instruct their congregations in the great mystery of how to live. Today's pastors should follow the example of their colonial forefathers, reminding us that God is the highest power and government officials are the lesser. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. This is Pastor Al Davis of the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, host of Live with Pastor Al on 1220 The Word. Let's make government subject unto the higher powers again.